Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. This is my show number 29, and I've been absolutely delighted to be your radio host for over 12 months now. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a public speaking mentor, coach, author, and radio host, and a multi-international award winner. And my passion is helping businesses to leverage their business with speaking and communication. So I'll share a little bit more about that with you later. Numbers to check in. If you've got a question for our guest today and you're listening in, you're in North America, it's 646-716-7979. If you're outside North America and you've followed the link, which is http://tobtr.com/9952011. Follow those links and you can put your questions into the chat box. And of course, you can always PM me on Facebook, put your question in there, and I'll pass it on to our guest. And speaking of our guest today, it's my absolute delight to have as my guest success coach and number one best-selling author of How Would Love Respond, Kuik Ashley. Hi, Kuik. Welcome to the show this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me, Trish. I'm very honored to be on the show with you.
Absolutely delighted. And I also thank you very much for giving up your time, because for listeners here in Australia, it's Good Friday and a public holiday. I know around the world it's still Thursday for you, but so I'm very appreciative, Kuik, of you giving up some time this morning to be with us.
My pleasure, and I apologize that I was supposed to be with you about a month ago, but I was called by Sylvester Stallone to go have lunch with him in L.A., and I couldn't pass it up, and I had lunch with him and Arnold Schwarzenegger, so I apologize, and it's great to be with you here.
I can actually get that. Speak with Trish Springsteen. Lunch with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, I know which one's going to come up on that one. I'll give you that one. Absolutely. But I'll hold you to the fact that next time they're around, you need to introduce me. That's your penalty. There's your challenge.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
Okay. We'll be back shortly to speak with Kuik. But first, we're going to go through what I usually share with everyone, and that's my frequently asked question. So today's question that's come in is, why is time so important when preparing and delivering speeches? Now, that might seem a very, self-evident question. Of course, time's important. You've been given so much time. But do you know how many times that I have come across or I've listened to presentations that have gone over time? And I'm sure you have too. Have you ever been in an event or a conference where the speaker goes over time, and then the next speaker goes over time, and by the end of the day, the whole thing is blown out, and it's eaten into my cocktail hour, and I not get happy with someone eats into my cocktail hour. So it's frustrating, and I have a really quite passionate about respect, because I think keeping to time is all about respect. When you go over time, you have a lack of respect. Now, firstly, it's a lack of respect for the audience. The audience is expecting to hear from you as a speaker for a certain amount of time. And when you go over that, you really lose them. You really do. Now, having said that, I think there's probably, I could count on one hand, there may be about three people who I would forget if I'm listening to who went over time. But even then, my brain is programmed to listen to a speaker for a certain amount of time. And when they do go over that, I start to get restless and I go off. So firstly, you've got respect for your audience. They're prepared to give you so much time. And today we're time poor. So you honour that by keeping to that time. Secondly, it should be respect for the organisers. Now, I've organised conferences. I've organised events. I know what it's like. You've programmed your morning teas, you've programmed your afternoon teas, you've programmed all of your speakers, you've programmed your workshops. And so when someone goes over time, that throws that completely out. And they've got to really hustle around or try and make things a little bit easier for the whole event. It's difficult. So you should have respect for the organizer. And then most importantly as well, I mean, they're all three of them important, but one that I think is really important and vital is actually respect for the speakers that are coming after you. Now, as a speaker and a presenter, I put a lot of time into doing my presentations when I've been asked to speak at an event or a conference. I know what the timing is. I know how much I've been allocated. So I work it out so that all the things that I want to share will fit within that time. And what happens, though, is if the speaker before me goes over time, I've only got two choices, really. I can stick to what I want to do, present my full presentation, and the odds are that I'm then going to go over time. And I now impacted on the person following me. Or I can do what I usually do, be flexible, cut down what I'm going to say, and bring my presentation back into time. However, that has to me because perhaps some of the things that I've wanted to share, I've had to take out. So it's vitally important to be aware of the timing that you've got so that you don't impact on our speakers. Because I know I don't like it when I've got to pull some of my stuff out. And I know that if I went over time, the speaker following me wouldn't like it if they have to pull something out of their presentation. So timing is important, people, and it's all about respect. It's respect for those three people, for the audience, for the organizers, and for speakers following you. Now, one other tip I want to give you, and one that people who first start out speaking or doing presentations often fall into this trap. They get told they've got, say, 30 minutes to speak. So they listen to what I've said and they've worked out that they want to be really great to time. So they prepare their presentation for 30 minutes. And that's where they can fall into a trap. Because there's a big difference for you practicing your presentation and preparing it to when you actually get up and give it and you start to interact with the audience. Because as soon as you do that, your presentation is going to go over time. So if you've sorted your presentation out just for the 30 minutes, I almost guarantee you're going to go over time. So the trick to be really, and the technique to remember, is if you've got 30 minutes, I usually actually prepare for about 20 minutes. And you say, oh, my gosh, that's 10 minutes short. I know, but I'm going to be interacting with the audience. It's going to expand. And if I do finish a little bit short, I've got time for questions. So I've got time for people to actually ask me some questions and still keep within the time. And if there isn't any questions, well, that's fine. I've given them everything that I want to share. I've given 100% of my time. And maybe, if I finish a little bit early, everybody's going to be happy. The audience has got full value. They can get out and have a bit of extra time. The organisers know they've got a little bit of extra time. And the speaker before me has got a little bit of extra time to come on and get prepared. So timing, people. It may seem self-evident, but timing is very important when you're preparing and delivering your speeches. And from my point of view, as you may have realised, I'm very passionate about it in terms of respect. I think it's respect for my audience, respect for the people who've asked me to speak, and respect for anybody that is following me. So I'll always be sharing tips, techniques, and strategies each show. If there is something you would like answered, just email me on info@trischel.com.au. Then tune into the next show to hear your answer. And, of course, you can always contact me on Facebook, PM me, and send your questions there. And if I happen to be coming across and we're having a chat, yeah, make sure that you let me know that there's a question you'd like answered as well, and I will look at those and put them into the shows. So now, people, I'm really, really, it is my great pleasure to introduce my guest speaker. As I mentioned, Keurig Ashley is a success coach and the number one best-selling author of How Would Love Respond? Keurig is considered to be one of the most in-demand, first-class speakers and sought-after success coaches in the world. He's recognized as one of the premier experts in personal and professional development, self-discovery, and peak performance. And for over 30 years, Fortune 500 companies and major corporations around the world, such as Apple, Seagate, Schwarzkopf, Western Hotels, the Australian Royal Air Force, Colton United Brewery, have hired Keurig to teach them tactical success strategies that have produced awe-inspiring results. And to top that, his list of private clients include Hollywood film and TV stars, movie directors, producers and cinematographers, a quintuple platinum rock band, I'm going to have to ask which one that was, hit music composers, top business leaders, oil executives in Kuwait, and Olympic gold medalists. And we know who those are. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Professional athletes, sports teams, and the list goes on and on and on. We could be here for the next 30 minutes. Keurig is an expert in what he does. He's also the author of the number one international best-selling book, as I mentioned, How Would Love Respond? And within 4 hours of that book being released, it took number one spot on Amazon for hot new releases and movers and shakers, and number four on Barnes & Noble. Welcome, Keurig. I'm delighted to have you here. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. We've been just under the gun with a lot of traveling. I just was on stage with Arnold Schwarzenegger in Sydney about 2 weeks ago, which was a really amazing event. And now we're off to L.A. for our Action Heroes event. So it's been a whirlwind few weeks, months, I should say. But, yeah, it's great to be back on the Sunshine Coast and enjoying home and the kids.
It's interesting when you flitting between two continents, isn't it? It can get quite time consuming because you've got that travel backwards and forwards, but pretty awe inspiring as well.
Well, I used to travel a lot more, Trish, but the thing is that now that I'm married and have kids and those things, is that I just redesigned my life, and it's one of the things that, you know, since I work with so many people around the world to improve the quality of their life and how they live it, it'd be pretty incongruent if I wasn't actually living that life myself first. So, I designed my life a certain way so that I can be just as successful, even more successful, yet live it the way I want to live it, because you never open up your calendar and all of a sudden it's that one day called one day. Or someday, it's today. And so you got to start living it today, and then you figure out a way, how do you keep that lifestyle?
I think that's extremely important. And there's a couple of interesting things that you've just raised just in that short time for our listeners. One, which I'm vitally passionate about as well, is congruency and being true to who you are. And that's brilliant that you've highlighted that. Because I see on quite a lot of churches and people in times are not living what they're saying.
Well, that's quite common. The thing, though, is it's short-lived. You know, people will find out nowadays with the internet, and they'll find out in about 2 seconds. But it's one of those things anyways. I mean, like with my private clients, I've been coaching for like 30 years, but here in Australia for 20, and never once have I ever marketed myself, but yet I always have a full roster of clients. And it really comes from just being congruent, and it draws the attention because people say, I want what you have. You know, I want that life. And it doesn't have to be the exact life that I live. It's just the kind of life that I live, which is very balanced, healthy and fit, a lot of love, time with the family and the rest of the things, and wealthy and successful.
And what you've just highlighted there is that you can have it. A lot of people think they've got to have one or the other, don't they? But it's not true. Those who are truly successful and truly living what they're doing and living their life know that you can have both of those.
Well, it's called abundance. You know, if we're not living an abundant life, we're living a scarcity life. And you know, people will commonly say, you know, well, Kirk, you have a special life, you know, you have this special job and it's easy for you. And well, that's not even accurate. Is, you know, I have kids just like everybody else has kids. Like I said, we live on a farm, so I have 14 acres that I have to deal with. And no, we don't have groundspeople to do it. I mean, what's the point of living on a farm if you don't take care of your own farm? But also is that, you know, I do travel and I do have business and I do have private clients and speaking engagements and all the rest of those things. It's just that I design it a certain way so that my life is very balanced. And it's the same thing I can teach everybody and anybody really to do the same thing. You just have to have that intention that that's the life you want to live and then open up your mind to the possibilities of how to do it. But if you're going to say you can't do it, like anything, I can't afford it or I can't do it, well, the brain won't look for any answers because you being the captain of your ship just told your brain that there is no way, so why would it look for an answer? So instead of saying, I can't do it, the masterful way to look at it would be is, how can I do it?
And people listening, there's your first gold nugget from this morning, from this show, is how can I do it? If we can phrase our words and everything around that, we're certainly going to open up possibilities. Which
leads me to
talk to a little bit more, where I think probably was a pivotal moment in your life in 1989, which probably has been the catalyst for what you're saying is how can I do it? And if you'd like to share what that pivotal moment was.
Sure. Well, I used to be one of the things I guess you missed in my introduction is that I used to be an actor. And I mean, most people think I've lived like 15 lives in one lifetime. I used to be a professional actor for 23 years of my life, and I did 38 movies in Hollywood. I've done two films with John Travolta. I've worked with Sylvester Stallone and Russell Crowe and Charlie Sheen, and I was in the Philippines doing a movie called Delta Force 2 with Chuck Norris, and during the filming of the movie, I was involved in an accident where we had a helicopter crash, and five of my friends died. My best friend, Mike, was 29 years old when I got him out, and he died in my arms on the way to the hospital. So for the next 2.5 years, I had a very negative tailspin my life went into, where I was putting drugs up my nose and smoking cigarettes and drinking a lot and stuff. And I wasn't partying. I was just trying to find a way to kill myself. I was so depressed from it. And then one day I kind of woke up and had a new thought after 2.5 years of living in this downward spiral. The thought was that your life's not your own, that there's people who love you and care about you and even strangers that look up to you that you don't even know about. And you allow yourself to understand that, you take a lot of people with you. And I realized that that can't be my legacy. It's not what my life's all about. And so I unscrewed a broom pole out of a broom and held it over my head in my backyard in California like a samurai warrior. And I cut a line in the sand in the backyard. And I said, once I step over this line, I'm done. And that really is the point that everybody has to get to in order to make transformation in life, is you have to get to the place where you go, I'm done. I'm done being fat. I'm done being lonely. I'm done being poor. You know, I'm just done. Because until we get to that decision moment, it's like being buried neck deep in dog poo. And we've been in it so long, we're convincing ourselves it doesn't stink. But it does stink. And, you know, it's better to take the nose plugs off and go, no, I'm done. I'm out of here. And so I stepped over that line and I gave up cocaine. I gave up cigarettes. I gave up alcohol abuse. I gave all my guns away. Not to just people wandering down the street. I gave them away to gun collector friends of mine. And literally in that day made complete transformation where I went cold turkey on all those things. And every day was just building on that until who I am today. And so when I teach people, when I work with people, is, you know, I wasn't book taught. You know, I've experienced, you know, poverty. I've been homeless. You know, I've obviously had deep depression. I've had anxiety problems in the past, all the rest of the things. And it was all about working on myself and then developing another skill set, which is learning how to teach it.
And you do it so very well because that's where you are today, and being able to live the life we were just talking about, the balance that you had, you've taken that and changed that to that question, how can I do it? And that's what you're sharing now. So how do you share this? What, just take us through a little bit of how Kuik shares what he does with people.
Well, here I'll give you the number one secret for success, Trish, right off the bat, because, I mean, people listening, you know, let's give them some real value. And this is the number one magic secret there is. And the only reason it's a secret is because, well, people don't go looking for it, or they think it's just too easy. But the truth is, the key distinction between successful people, and I mean, and success doesn't just mean people with money, it's holistic success. It means success in all areas of your life, because really, what's the point of being rich if you're sick, or wealthy if you're lonely? You know, it's about having everything you want in your life and in abundance, not just, you know, settling for, well, I'm pretty happy, that's okay. No, I mean, it's like being exuberantly happy. Well, the key distinction between successful people and average people is that successful people have learned how to manage how they think and feel differently than the average people do. Because wherever your head goes, your body follows. And so that's the one thing we have to work on, is how do we manage it? And the hardest work that we'll ever have to do is to have new original thought, even when your environment around you isn't conducive of that. So what I mean by that is that you have to see in your mind only wealth, even when you're surrounded by poverty, or when your bank account's empty. You got to see happiness when there's only misery around you, or health when you're surrounded by sickness or disease. Excuse me. And so that's the hardest work we have to do. But, you know, in 1937, a man called Napoleon Hill wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich. And he said, in every chapter of my book is a secret. When you discover the secret, your success will come so fast and furious it will make your head spin. He forgot to mention it was also the title of the book, which is Think and Grow Rich. So that you have to think about, and by the way, he really meant enriched. It meant all areas of your life, not just making money. So it's the one part that we have to work on every day, and we have to exercise it like a muscle. And there's four main muscle groups, and that's physical, emotional, spiritual, and emotional. Physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental. There you go. There's four of them. And so all four of those things need to be worked upon, just like you go to the gym. You know, if you don't, you know, you don't work out and you're in shape for the rest of your life, you know, you got to work out every day and be consistent. So it's the same thing with those, with your mental muscle, with your emotional muscle, certainly with your spiritual muscle, which is not religion, it's self-love. It's working on your own self-love. And you got to build, work on your head, because it's a muscle and it's got to be kept strong.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think that's probably the biggest gold nugget so far, is that I was going to ask you the what you thought about success and what it means, and I'm really brilliantly happy that you have shared that it's holistic, because it's true, isn't it? So many times we link success and rich to money, and we forget about all the rest of us, or all the rest of the parts in our lives, and we can't really be successful if the rest of ourselves or the other things aren't part of that, and we've seen that too many times. So when you come to sharing this with people, have you got some stories about some what's happened and how long it's taken people to actually tweak to what you're saying, and maybe share a little bit of, you know, not necessarily names if you don't want to use names, but the process that people have suddenly found and what happens when they get it, when they actually get it?
Well, Trish, I call it popping, you know, so I see it with my private clients. Every one of them throughout the term of me working with them. Sometimes it's sooner than others, but it's still quite quick compared to that they've spent their whole lives living in one belief system. And then all of a sudden, and the reason I call it popping, it's like the bird popping its head through the eggshell, and all of a sudden you realize there's a whole other world out there, completely different and much bigger than the original world you were are living in. And so it happens quite quickly, and you see the lights literally come on in their eyes. It's we've had a a lot of people at our two-day program, at the firewalk involved, that people leave, and it's like their whole life has shifted in 2 days. So it doesn't take long. What it really takes, though, is that you have to open up your mind. You know, your mind is like a parachute. It works way better when it's open. And Bruce Lee said, you know, the legendary martial artist Bruce Lee said that the usefulness of the cup is its emptiness. You know, we always hear this, is my cup half full, half empty? And some people are, you know, kind of arguing which one's better. Well, actually, both are valuable. What Bruce Lee was talking about is that, you know, because he said, if you're going to come into my martial arts studio, my dojo, and tell me what you know about martial arts, well, then there's nothing I can teach you. But you have to come in and open your mind up. So one of the first things that I always recommend, and I do it myself, is, you know, I read a lot of books. I attend a lot of workshops and seminars. And, you know, people see me walk into the seminar and they look at my name badge or whatever. They're like, you're Keurig Ashley. I'm like, yeah, I knew that. Thank you. And they're like, what are you, the guest speaker? And I said, no, I'm attending. And they're like, why? You teach this stuff. And I go, but how do you think I got here? Is that, you know, Napoleon Hill, who wrote Think and Grow Rich, said that, you know, the dormant mind is the devil's workshop. If you don't actively put into your mind what you want in there, well, the garbage stuff will seep its way in there. So you have to keep it filled. And you do that, and it's what I call immersion, I guess, is that you immerse yourself in whatever you're learning or whatever you're growing. So if you're learning internet marketing, it should become your world. If you're learning personal development, it should become your world, where it's just like if you want to learn Italian, the best thing to do is move to Italy. Because when you're surrounded by people speaking Italian, it's funny how fast you'll pick it up and speak it. But if you're living somewhere else, well, yeah, it's harder when you don't have Italian people to speak to. So you really got to immerse yourself in it. But by then, it starts taking you over. And if you hang out with successful people, you become one. And so all this happens quite quickly. It just, you got to let go of the old world. And that's what I always say is that, you know, if you want to fly, you have to let go of the world that you're hanging on to.
And that's a scary thought, isn't it, for some people, letting go. I call that, from one of my favorite quotes, and that it's like, I call it 60 seconds of insane courage when I'm speaking to my mentoring clients about stepping up and speaking or sharing their message. It's like you've got 60 seconds of insane courage to let go and be who you want to be.
Yeah, well, it's skydiving. You know, when you're in the plane, if you want to fly, if you want to skydive, sitting in the plane is not skydiving. And watching movies about other people skydiving is not skydiving. Is you got to get that last butt cheek off the edge of the plane, and then you're skydiving. But, man, once you're out in the air and you're free-falling and you see what it's like to fly, you know, to be free like that, it's such a transformational moment. I've done 115 skydives, and each one of them, you know, there's a part of you that just, it's being that kid who thinks you're Superman for 168 seconds. But it's it's life, and life is going to, you know, it's going to force you to grow anyway. But unfortunately, you kind of miss a big chunk of it until you get to the end of your life and you look back and you're like, what was I even afraid of? I'm about to face eternity called my death. You know, what was I afraid of during life? And so to kind of look at the end of your life now, the future pace, think about that moment and go, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to just let go and try something new. But in life, either you evolve or dissolve. Nothing stays the same. You're either growing or you're decaying. And if you're holding on to the other stuff, you decay. So you have to let go. And it's one of those muscles you got to build on, is learning how to make those decisions to let go and move forward. But it's biblical, Trish. It's, you know, and I'm not even a religious person. It's let go and let God, which really means when you let go, you let the universe do its job. But anything that you hang on to becomes gravity and will drag you down.
It's awesome, and it's empowering when you actually in that moment. And I actually call it stagnating, because people get so caught up in their comfort zone and they stay in their comfort zone, they get complacent, and then they stagnate, which is what I'm saying. Yeah, it's awesome when you just take that step and move out of that. I'm just going to leave it there for a minute. I just got to do, you know, I'll come back to you shortly. I just wanted to do a bit of a reminder to people because there's something I want to ask you when I come back. In that. So right now, people, we are listening and hope you're all listening in, and we've been speaking with Keurig Ashley. We've been really going a completely different direction that we're going to, but I love what we've been talking about because I think this is really something that people out there need to get. If they get it, then they can be all that they can be. So if you are listening in, if you're outside North America, don't forget that you can call in on 646-716-7979 to bring in your questions. If you're outside North America and you follow that link, that tobtr.com/9952011, follow those links and put your questions there, or you can message me in Facebook. Now, as I said, we are speaking with Keurig Ashley, who is a premier, would say, most sought-after success coach in the world, and after having speaking with him for the last 10 minutes, I can absolutely see why people are wanting to work with him. We've been looking at the meaning of success, and we've been looking at how you can let go and be all you want to be. And specifically, we've been looking at this question that we should be asking ourselves, how can I do it, rather than saying, I can't do it. Keurig, thanks so much for sharing what you've been sharing so far. Just a question. Yeah, we've got a lot of discussion out there about today's youth and the young people coming forward, and, you know, are they going to be the people that we can look up to? Are they being stifled? You know, all this stuff about screen time and Facebook and all that. What would you say, and you've got children yourself that are growing up, what would you be wanting to say to them to have them be the success that you see success as?
Well, here's the thing with that, Trish, is that, you know, if you look at the media and you buy into the stories, you know, it looks like our youth is worse than they've ever been, and they're, you know, into drugs, and they're into weapons, and they're into mayhem and all that stuff. A couple of years ago, I was asked to work with the Brisbane Boys College rowing team, you know, and I went in, and all the guys in the boat were amazing gentlemen. They had goals, they had manners, they had, you know, integrity and all these things. And then I got to meet the other guys in the different boats with the school, and they were all the same way. And then we're into competitions, and there's six or seven different schools there, and you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids show up on a weekend in their school uniforms. They have instruments and flags, the sportsmanship, the manners, and the goals that they all have. And so I realized that, now wait a minute, if there's one school like this, there's got to be a lot of schools like this. But how come the media doesn't broadcast about this? Well, the truth is because there's no drama in it. Who wants to hear about kids who are doing good and have goals and working on themselves? And so I realized that if the future of our life and our world is in these kids' hands, we're in great shape. You know, in my dad's time, when, you know, radio was about the only form of communication like that, you know, it just took longer for information to get around. And now with the internet and social media and stuff, it's like instantaneous. But, you know, there's lots of stories of young people and good people out there, but most people don't even want to hear this story because there's no drama in it. So as an example, Trish, is Tony Robbins, who I spent 5 years with when Tony was first getting going on the road with him, is Tony had a TV show a couple years ago that was on American TV. It lasted 2 episodes and got canceled, because Tony was trying to help people. Jerry Springer's been on the air for 25 years. Dr. Phil's been on the air for like 13 years. You know, the Kardashians are in, like, I can't even imagine how they're on the air at all. But anyways, the thing is that,
I agree.
And the reason that those shows have that staying power is because it's drama. And drama creates what I call drama glue. And it gets you stuck in the story. But the truth is that whatever we focus on is going to expand. And I would say is focus on, like, for instance, you know, people are up in arms. Donald Trump got elected and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I guess they forgot George Bush, you know. There's you know, there's been a lot of different presidents that haven't been my cup of tea. But since he's the president and he got voted in, everybody should focus on making him the best president the country has ever seen, because if they don't, it's their country and the world that's going to suffer. So if you like want to sabotage what he's doing, or, you know, try to dismantle what he's doing, well, then we're going to be in trouble. But if, you know, the masses get behind him, not support him if he wants to do insane things, but support him in changing and transforming into a great president, because whatever we consistently see in our minds, we will produce. And by the way, it's a law of nature called the law of perpetual transmutation, which means that every thought eventually will take its form. And so we have to focus on the youth of the world doing a great job and being great and supporting them in that, and loving them for that. But also, as you know, the hippies of the 60s became the Steve Jobs of Apple and Bill Gates of Microsoft. You know, those are the same guys that the world thought was going to hell then, only to become, you know, who they are today. And Apple still the most powerful company that's ever existed in the history of business. They have more cash reserves than the United States government.
Absolutely agree, because I agree with everything that you said, because to me, I listen to this and I do. They're just so drama and they focus on the things. But I think about myself. I mean, I know when I was growing up, the same things were said. And I don't think there's any real difference between the youth of today and the youth of yesterday and the ones before that and the ones before that. And they've all been always said, oh, we're never going to be able to do anything good with them, or they're doing all this. And as you say, each of those have produced people and have gone through that have grown and taken where we are today with us. So the youth of today are going to be just like that. They've got certain issues. Yep, I think there's some problems that they've got, which isn't actually all to do with them. It's sometimes something somehow to do with some of the society that we're in. But I think they're going to be fine if we stop trying to put them down. And as you say, what we think happens.
I would just say, Trish, is, I mean, the skill set behind it would be is, you know, kids spell love, T-I-M-E. You know, they want your time. They want your attention. And, you know, with our kids, my wife, Erin, and I, you know, we, our business, we run it from our home. You know, we don't have a big office anymore. I used to have 8 staff and all this stuff. I don't need any of that anymore. And, you know, but we spend a lot of quality time with our kids, and they love that. And our daughter, Lucia, the eldest, you know, has this beautiful hair. And this year decided to cut it off so that she could give the rest of it to charity for cancer patients, you know, so they can make wigs out of her hair. And did that on her own accord. But see, that's because she's learned those values. And unfortunately, in our society, you know, parents are handing off their kids to school and say, raise my kid for me. And they're handing off their kids to a tablet or a phone and say, be my babysitter, instead of spending that quality time with them. And again, when parents tell me, well, you know, I just don't have the time, well, then make the time. It's your kids and it's your future and it's your kids' future. If you're not giving them those value systems now, well, where are they going to get them? And, you know, we got to put priorities on it. But other than that, if you read the Bible, and like I said, I'm not a religious person. My mom was Jewish. My dad was Christian. I was just confused. If you read the Bible, nothing's really changed in 2,000 years. You know, some people were wealthy. Some people were poor. Some people were good. Some people murdered their families or neighbors or stole or, you know, I mean, nothing's changed. The only thing that changes is information travels faster.
Absolutely. You could go back in history, but even before the Bible, and you'll have the same sort of things that happens. And I have to heartily endorse the time that be with your children, because you just don't know what's going to happen in the next day. You don't know whether you're going to have them or not. I speak to
Absolutely.
First experience. We lost our son at the age of 23. So I say to you, spend the time with your children, because that's the time that you can't get back, really is, and you need that to to let them where they need to go. So I guess my question, when my next question was going to be to you, is what motivates you? And I think I've heard a little bit about that all the way through. So what does motivate you? What gets you up in the morning?
Well, the first thing is that I have a mass amount of gratitude. Every day for me is borrowed time. You know, I somehow lived through the helicopter crash 27 years ago. And so, you know, when my friend who was only 2 years older than me didn't. And so I wake up every morning with an attitude of gratitude that I feel like I've already done the hardest thing in my day, which is wake up. Because if you ask anybody who didn't wake up today how difficult waking up is, they'll tell you it was impossible. So if you do that and you come up with that attitude that I'm already a success, well, then you start doing more successful things and you do things in a more present fashion because you really enjoy them. My biggest motivation is, you know, my wife and my kids, but also for myself. I'm not, you know, you got to include yourself in that picture. Is that, you know, when you said earlier, Trish, that a lot of people are afraid of letting go. You know, for me, I just reverse the poles. I'm more afraid of getting to the end of my life and having regret for not living it to the fullest. And that's why people say, you know, God, Kirk, you've lived like 15 lives already. That's, you know, it's crazy how much you've gotten done in one lifetime. And I go, but I haven't peaked yet. So you might talk about my past and what I've done, but I'm still writing a story. And so I get up every day and I want to make today my masterpiece, because my belief system is that every morning when I wake up, I'm born afresh. And every night when I go to sleep, I die. And so what am I going to do with my life today? And if I'm honored yet one more day, I'm going for it. I pull all the stops out. But also is I live it with appreciation. And I live it in a sense of awe, as if it's the, you know, first day I've ever lived. And I live it with appreciation and gratitude as if it's the last day I'll ever get to live. Just like speaking engagements. You know, I've done thousands of speaking engagements in 17 countries around the world, and every one of them I get up on stage and I act like this is the last time I ever even get to speak, so make it your very best and have fun with it. And when I get done, I have complete gratitude that I was honored to be able to do what I love to do so much, and then if the next one comes, awesome, but if not, I'm actually fully complete with how my life's been and how this last speaking engagement was.
And those are really great words, listeners, to live by, because as I really heartily concur, because as I said, I've been through that and I know how short life can be, and that's what I do, live each day to the fullest, because hey, there is so much out there to do, people, there is so much to learn, there is so much to experience, and we hide ourselves away from that, and it's just so sad when people do that. I wanted to speak a little bit with you, Kirk, about, we were just speaking before we came on. We're talking about awards, and you helped the women's volleyball to gold medal in the Sydney Olympics. And we were talking about the difference between it. And I thought that was something very important to highlight. Should I just share that story with us and what happened and the outcomes from that?
Sure. It was the Natalie Cook and Kerry Pothurst, the women's Australian beach volleyball team. And when I first met them, they had recently won the bronze medal at the Atlanta Olympics, and that was the first time that beach volleyball was ever an official sport in the Olympics. And so, you know, here they are, third best in the world. I'm giving a speaking engagement in Brisbane. I didn't know that Natalie Cook, one of the bronze medalists, was in the audience, and I started going on about who here remembers the person who stands on the third box at the Olympics. Anybody ever buy their book thinking, oh gee, how'd you get third? And so Natalie stood up and she said, hey, thanks very much. I was on the third box at the Olympics. And I said, wow, you're a big girl too, I can see. And that wasn't, you know, she said, look, the reason I'm so upset is everything you said today was true. Now, she said, I know you have the skills and tools I need. Will you get me to win the gold medal in Sydney? And so I worked with the girls. And during the years leading up to the Olympics that I worked with them on is, the girls were very scarce about allowing people to touch bronze medals because that's all they got. You know, as a bronze medalist, you don't really get anything else. You don't get the speaking engagements. You don't get the book deals and the stuff, you know. And so they were, you know, I didn't even get to touch the bronze medal. I mean, they used to keep it in their box that it comes in. They used to hide it in their house and all that stuff. And then once we won the gold medals, as an example, Natalie was asked to be a celebrity bartender at this sports bar in Brisbane in those days. And I walk in to come see her, and, you know, there's people running around the bar wearing her gold medal around their neck, you know. And, you know, different people are trying on and taking photos with it. And I said, Nat, you know, people are running around with your medal. And she's like, she called me Yoda. She said, Yoda, you know, you've taught me that that's not my gold medal. My gold medal's in my heart. That's the experience I have. You can't take that from me. The gold medal that you see people running around with, that is to inspire other people to greatness. So that's all of our gold medal. And, you know, so as you see, the girls went from scarcity mentality to abundant mentality. And they were just at this event in Sydney where I was on stage with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they were also some of the speakers at the event. And, you know, they went into talking about that story and everything I had done for them to win the gold medals. But also is now you see how free they are. We're throwing that green ribbon around people's necks so they can get a picture of themselves wearing a gold medal, because you see them light up as soon as it goes around their neck and the gold touches their spirit. And they go, you know what? I can do something amazing. And it's awesome. I love to see who the girls have become.
That's brilliant, because what they're now doing is contributing to a ripple effect and changing people's lives by sharing their abundance. And I think that's a wonderful step forward for them. You mentioned you're going to be in Los Angeles on the 29th of April. Do you want to share a little bit about Action Heroes, Inc. and how people can maybe get part of that or what it's all about?
Sure. Action Heroes Incorporated is, I know it sounds very, you know, Spider-Man and Iron Man kind of thing, but it's about action heroes and real-life action heroes, people who took action in the face of adversity to make a massive difference in their lives and the lives of others. And, you know, these people are going to share with you their story as well as what did they do so that you can adopt those strategies and start putting them into your own life. Now, each speaker is only going to be on for 30 minutes, so it's, you know, little nuggets of gold sections. You know, you're going to get it really, you know, without a long, drawn-out thing. Nobody's going to sell anything at the program, so there's no sales fast and people are trying to sell you stuff. It's just about helping you make real change, real transformation in your life. And some of the speakers we have, one of them is Kathy Buckley. Now, Kathy is a deaf comedian. She will have you laughing and crying literally in the same sentence, you know. But, man, one of the most powerful speakers I've ever seen. I've known Kathy since the early 90s. She was born deaf. She was molested by her father for 8 years. She got cancer twice and beat it. She was suntanning on the beach. The lifeguard didn't see her and drove the truck over her and killed her. When she was brought back to life, she was paralyzed. You meet Kathy Buckley and you go next to her, I got no problems. But you'll meet a person who does not feel sorry for herself. And she, man, look her up. You see what she's done. It's amazing. Wynn Claybaugh, who's the co-owner and co-founder of Paul Mitchell Hair Care Product Schools. Amazing man. Gives over $1 million to charity every year. So we have Glenn Twiddle and Martin Ailes from Australia coming in. I'm also speaking there. The main event is very low cost for people because we just want people to get the transformation. And I'll tell you what, Trish, is, you know, anybody on the show right now who wants to go, if you're listening to the show and you take action, if you send me an email at Keurig@KeurigAshley.com, I would like you to have whoever writes me as my honored guest, and I'll give you two tickets to come to the program. So it won't cost you anything besides showing up.
Oh, lovely. Absolutely. Listeners, and for those who are listening live now and those who hear the replay in the next week,
yeah,
do that. First person through, or you're going to send anybody two tickets, or just the first few people?
No, whoever takes action, because, see, people who take action life get rewards that people who don't take action never get. And so I always reward people taking action. And normally seats are $189 each, so two tickets, you know, it's over $300. in seats right there. There's going to be a lot of celebrities and successful people in attendance, as well as speaking at the program. It's very intimate. There's only 300 seats, so take action, because if we run out of seats because we don't have any left, then snooze, you lose. But if you write me at Keurig@KeurigAshley.com, and Trish, I'm sure you can put that up so people get the spelling of it. They can get two tickets and literally come and change your life. It's going to be a dynamic day, and come up and meet the speakers. I'll be there, and the rest of those things. It, like I said, it's very intimate because it's not a big convention. You know, this is a place where people can make real life transformation and meet real action heroes, because not only are they making a difference in their lives, they're making a difference in the lives of other people as well. And you can see how you yourself can become a real life action hero.
Thanks so much for that, Keurig. That's very generous. And I'll make sure that the spelling of that, and it's out there with for people to be able to take advantage. We're running out of time, and I knew we'd be able to talk for hours. We haven't touched half the things I wanted to talk to you about. So my last question for you, and it's one I ask all my guests, very briefly in a couple of sentences, what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
Well, what I think makes a great speaker is, in what I've learned, Trish, is somebody who is, number one, is an ongoing student, somebody who is passionate about what they're talking about, and somebody who is just literally being themselves. You know, I've seen, man, President Clinton and Al Gore and, you know, obviously Tony Robbins and Norman Schwarzkopf and some of the best speakers in the world. And, you know, they're always just themselves. And what I learned about myself as well is, you know, when I stopped trying to impress people or be somebody different, and I just was my genuine self, is when I really learned how to effectively connect with and touch and move an audience. But you have to be an ongoing student, which means you're always going to be wanting to make yourself better.
Thanks so much for sharing that. And yes, I am very passionate about that. And that's what I share with my mentors, the same three things. They need to know that. And it's really good to see that that's what's making great speakers. So people out there listening want to be a spy. And you don't have to be an awesome speaker. You have to be a celebrity. You can just be great at what you do if you give yourself those opportunities and let yourself do it. Keurig, I've absolutely enjoyed it speaking with you today. It's been an honor to hear your stories, to hear your motivation, to hear your inspiration. Where can people find you if they want to connect? I'm going to put that email out, but where can they find you on the internet?
Sure. The KeurigAshley.com, K-U-R-E-K, Ashley, S-H-L-E-Y.com. If they go under the events section, they'll see all the Action Heroes, Inc. information for the program, which is on there. Also on Facebook, I have my public page. Private page is just jammed with 5,000 people, so there's not much space on there for me to take more people. But I put the same things on the public page as I do the private page, and obviously also on LinkedIn. You pretty much can find me anywhere if you come looking for me, because I don't know a lot of Keurigs out there. So
yes, it's similar. There's not many Trish Springsteens out there who wear purple and lots, so it's fairly easy to find me, and it's very easy to find Keurig. It's been an honor, Keurig. Thank you very much, and please have an enjoyable Easter for the rest of the Easter break. And people, don't forget to take Keurig up on his offer. Email him and get those two tickets. And if you really want to fly over there from Australia, do that as well. But those who
doesn't matter where they are, come on out.
Take them up. Okay, thank you very much, Keurig. Now, just before we leave, and we're running out of time quickly, I'm just going to share with you a couple of my favorite quotes. And one is from Keurig Ashley himself, which I thought was brilliant. Success is easy when you make it your habit. And that's what Keurig has been sharing with us today. And the other one that I like is, let us make our future now, and let us make our dreams tomorrow's reality. And that's from Malala Yousafzai. And I think that is brilliant. Make your dreams tomorrow's reality. And the last one I'm going to share from E.E. Cummings is, once we believe in ourselves, we can risk curiosity, wonder, spontaneous delight, or any experience that reveals the human spirit. And I think those quotes sum up what we've been hearing today from our guest, Keurig Ashley. It's believing in yourself. It's sharing your abundance. And it's saying, how can I do it, rather than putting all those things in your way. You've been listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. You can contact me at info@trishel.com.au. That's T-R-I-S-C-H-E-L. Connect with me on Facebook, Trishel Innovative Communication Training. My website is trishspringsteen.com. You can book me to speak at your event, your conference, or your meeting, or you can book a discovery session with me where we can see how we can leverage your business with speaking and communication. Have an awesome Easter, and I'll see you on my next show. Be good, be inspiring, share your abundance, and be all that you can be. Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.